It's Sunday, February the 15th. I'm Anthony, VK6AXB, and welcome to News West. Last Saturday, many of us had a great time attending the Peel Amateur Radio Group's Parg Fest down in Mandurah, where I caught up with Martin, VK6MJ.
We're down here this morning at the Peel Amateur Radio Group Swap Meet, the Parg Fest, and I'm here with long-time Parg member Martin, VK6MJ. Good morning, Martin.
Good day, Anthony. How are you?
Yeah, good. How do you feel Parg Fest has gone this time?
It's always a very happy affair, and we're very happy to have everybody down. It's going well. Everybody's having a great time.
I remember coming to one of the early ones of these many years ago, and it's the event's gone on from small beginnings, definitely a fixture of the calendar. Is it something Parg's going to look to continue doing?
Absolutely. The club members really enjoy it. It also gives them something to focus on and do.
Very good, and the amateur community certainly appreciate the opportunity to get together, catch up, and of course buy and sell a bit of gear. Yeah. What else has Parg got planned for the next little while? What else is the club working on?
We're working on a number of projects, a remote HF station. You have to become a member of Peel to access that, and that's nearing completion now. We have All-Star on our repeater and Echolink on the same repeater on VHF. And all the details for that are found in the on our website on parg.org.au.
Yeah, that's great. And you're still doing things to help out emergency service communications?
Yes, we've got a strong bond and link with the local SES. We've been able to... some of our members have helped to work on and keep the SES radio systems working when an antenna breaks off, and they, you know, some of our members will fix that, get it going again. That's really helped them. And we have a number of planned activities coming up, common exercises with the SES to fill in any black spots that they can't reach through their normal comms.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, thanks, Martin. Thanks again to yourself and everyone from Parg in putting the event on. It's a great day once again. I'll let you get back to it. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Zero noise floor. Have I got your attention? Does this interest you? If so, then listen on. I'm David, VK6 Delta Sierra, and I'm here to talk about Australian flora and fauna in amateur radio, abbreviated as Victor Kilo Foxtrot Foxtrot, or VKFF. The program commenced in 2013 and is an authorised partner and a recognised national program of the Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program, or WWFF. WWFF in amateur radio is an international amateur radio program, the purpose of which is to draw attention to the importance of protecting nature, flora and fauna, and to encourage the development of radio skills, especially in portable operations. More than 36,000 protected flora and fauna areas worldwide are already registered in the WWFF directory. You can find all qualifying VKFF parks for your state and any other information about the program via the website www.wwffaustralia.com. So any new WWFF reference areas must fall within the International Union for Conservation of Nature Protected Areas Categories system, found in the World Database on Protected Areas. That was a bit of a mouthful, but basically it means for a park to qualify for the program, it must have some conservation significance, which makes the program stand apart from others. So apart from what makes the program unique, what can it offer you? Well, the program is exceptionally popular in Europe, and as a VK in a park, you will attract a lot of attention. So good for DX. The VKFF program can also take you to beautiful locations around Australia. Combine other interests, for example, bushwalking, four-wheel driving, caravanning, and photography. Homebrew experimentation. What better place to test out your homebrew transceiver or antenna than in an area with zero noise floor? And of course, whilst the program can never be a competition, participants can be awarded a multitude of achievement certificates for their achievement efforts. How do you find out more? Well, your state manager is Hans, VK6 X-Ray November. You can drop him a line via the national email address at vkffaustralia, that's all one phrase, vkffaustralia@gmail.com, or check out the VKFF webpage at www.wwffaustralia.com. The WWFF program encourages amateur radio operators to operate portable from designated parks and or protected nature areas around the world, and in turn generate attention for these areas whilst providing the amateur radio community an interesting and rewarding activity. So what are you waiting for? Let nature be your shack. This has been VK6DS.
Hi, I'm Bob, VK6POP. Last week I gave details about the John Moyle Memorial Field Day, and I'll remind you of the broad details shortly. I also said I'd provide more information about using the N1MM logger. The John Moyle is on the weekend of the 21st and 22nd of March. It's always on the third full weekend in March. This contest is in memory of John Moyle, who pioneered the use of radio to coordinate an agency's response to emergencies such as bushfires. The John Moyle Memorial Field Days promotes our preparedness to operate portable in order to be able to respond to emergency situations. The contest rules define several categories, for example, single operator or multiple operators, portable or home base, and so forth. In order for you to decide which category you'll do well in, you need to read the rules and decide which category you fit and prepare yourself and your equipment for the best result. The contest rules are on the WIA's website. Look under Members on the menu bar. As I reminded you last week, the VK contest logger, which has served us so well for a long time, is unable to keep up with rule changes as further development of the product ceased when its author died. Your best option is N1MM, that's November 1 Mike Mike, that's the name of the application, which is recommended by the contest managers. N1MM can be configured for each contest, and the configuration files, which are known as User Defined Contest, UDCs, are available for download from the John Moyle Memorial Field Day page on the WIA's website. Now, N1MM is a Windows application, and Windows 10 and 11 are preferred to run it. If you're using an earlier Windows version, it would pay to check out the N1MM website. Linux and other operating systems are not natively supported. There has been success running N1MM using Wine. I'm pretty sure that's a software patch, not the stuff that comes in bottles. However, if you're a Linux user, you'd probably know all about it. Again, check the N1MM website for information. Linux users may derive some comfort from an app called Not N1MM. It's up there on GitHub. The author says on the page, "It's the world's number one unfinished contest logger." The author also says, "Not N1MM's interface is a blatant rip-off of N1MM. It is not N1MM, and any problem you have with this software should in no way reflect on their software." And he goes on to say, "Not N1MM is, in my opinion, a usable amateur radio or ham contest logger." So make your own judgment. In fact, if you do try Not N1MM, I'd be pleased to know how it went. It'll make a good story. Good luck with your preparations for the John Moyle. It's a good, relaxed-paced contest, and it's perfect for blooding new amateurs in on-air operation and a damn good excuse to go bush for the weekend.
You are listening to News West, your weekly news from VK6ARN. If you have any items for the news, the latest they can be submitted is noon Friday. If you have an item you would like read out by the news team, please give plenty of notice to allow someone to record the item before the Friday deadline. This is Darren, VK6EK, for Amateur Radio News, VK6ARN.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? Today I thought I'd talk about amateur radio in the 70s in the northwest of Western Australia. I first got interested in amateur radio not long after I discovered 27 MHz CB as an 11-year-old in 1977. I bought a copy of Dick Smith's CB handbook from Mooney's Electronics in South Hedland, where I hung out way too much, and I'm sure annoyed Mr. Mooney until my father finally gave in and we bought an 18-channel Dick Smith Hornet SSB CB and had it fitted in our four-wheel drive. The last chapter in the handbook was devoted to amateur radio. I was having so much fun with CB and chasing DX, etc., that amateur radio became something I wanted to know more about. Unfortunately, I knew no one who was a ham at that time. The CB community, though, was pretty good, so my journey into radio still got a start, albeit only on 11 metres. I probably would have looked it up on the internet, but the internet wasn't invented yet. On the fringes of that community were a group of CBers that hung out on the high channels. Some were using Yaesu FT101Es and FL2100 amplifiers. They were the hardcore CB pirates. Others just had slightly modified CyberNet chassis CBs that with the flick of two switches could change the radio from an 18-channel radio to a 59-channel radio with a top frequency of 27.595 MHz. In the middle were those that used DigiScan boxes wired across the top of a PLL chip that could move in 10 kHz steps from below 27 MHz to, I think from memory, about 28045. There were some unwritten rules there. We stayed away from the marine HF channels, and no one went above 28 MHz because that's where the hams were, and they were a grumpy bunch. The story then was that the Department of Communications, the predecessor to ACMA, didn't really care much about the spectrum between CB and 10 metres, and as long as we didn't interfere with the marine users. That was a wrong assumption. Over the period of about 2 days, a bunch of radio inspectors and the local police conducted a coordinated raid on most of the pirate CB operators in town, and a lot lost their prized radio gear. Thankfully, I was not one of them. Around that time, a few CBers noticed this car, a small Tirana, out on the main road between Port and South Hedland, with antennas all over it. There was a thought it might have been a radio inspector, but finally someone stopped to see what the story was. It was Mark, VK6 Whiskey Victor, who had found a nice spot next to a salt pan and used to hop on 6 metres and work a bunch of Japanese amateurs. Mark went on to approach the local TAFE college in South Hedland and ran a class for a bunch of us that wanted to get our novice licences. By about 1979, that class and Mark formed the core of a newly formed club called the Northwest Amateur Radio Society. There were two chapters formed, one in Port Hedland and one in Newman, which was headed by Wally, VK6YS. And there were members as far north as Wyndham, Coolin Island, Derby, the Roebourne area, and a healthy group in Hedland and Newman. Mark and a few other members worked for what was then Mount Newman Mining, later to become BHP. And they managed to gain access to a part of a building just out of South Hedland called the Flashback Welding Yard. We had a small shack and a decent-sized meeting room. A tri-band Yagi was installed on a mast with a power supply in the shack. Any member could bring their radio along and plug it in. We also had a rhombic which traversed the entire yard for the DC bands. The load at the opposite end was made from a bunch of light globes from memory. 1979 was the first RD contest I ever participated in. It was memorable as the event that the Department of Communications announced that they had finally given up on trying to police third-party traffic, and also the announcement that we now have three new bands, the WARC bands, named for the World Amateur Radio Conference, where all countries agreed to make the new bands available to hams. It was also when the club's Hedland chapter came third outright in the RD, and the Newman chapter taking out the all-mag category, having made about 3 CW contacts during the contest. Contesting was a different beastie in those days, all paper logs. We had butcher's paper marked out to provide a quick means of checking for duplicate contacts. This meant having an operator, a logger, and a duplicate checker. In 1981, I finally got my novice license and the call sign VK6NSK. I was a bad student who was more interested in talking on a radio than learning about what was inside it. The club had around a dozen members, I think. I doubt Headland has ever had that many hams since then. In fact, I doubt the whole Pilbara region has had that many. The club used to have quite a few activities. We had a camping trip at the De Grey River, where I learnt about making a five-band dipole. We ran a year-long contest similar to the one run by RASA these days, which I managed to win 1 year, but at the cost of a year of school, I had to then repeat. We had a big net with at least a dozen call-ins, if not more, on 80 metres on a Sunday night. I wasn't on it much because my radio was a converted CB that was loaned to me by Mark, so I was only on 10 metres. I used to enjoy working into the US, but that was impossible on 15 metres at the time because the US hams weren't allowed on voice in the areas of the band that novices had access to in Australia. At that time, we had slivers of 80 metres and 15 metres and between 28 and 28.6 megahertz on 10 metres, I think. There was definitely an incentive to upgrade in those days, but I do prefer the regime we have now to then. The club continued to grow. I left the town to join the Navy as a radio technician apprentice in early 83 and managed to get my full call licence when I came home for Christmas that year. We had a Department of Communications office in town at that time, and our local radio inspector, Glenn Ogg, kindly agreed to examine me while I was home, and I got to change my call sign to VK6UE. A bunch of club members then started to drift away towards the end of the 80s. Quite a few ended up on Christmas Island working for the Phosphate Mining Company there. Others moved to the Big Smoke here in Perth. I think in 1990 or thereabouts, a fire broke out at the club, and the building burnt to the ground with all the club's gear with it. And I guess the writing was on the wall from then on, and the end of an era was upon us. It was a magic time for amateur radio, though, particularly in the late 70s and early 80s. The local CB crowd was a bit like Facebook is now, or whatever the dominant social media platform is at the moment, with its share of good people and poisonous ones, just like today. It was the biggest sunspot peak in living memory. I literally worked the world from my pushbike using a helical whip and a modified CB whilst I rode out to the club station. I was blessed with a bunch of mentors and good role models that continue to shape my life today and introduce me to a hobby I've kept with me for well over 40 years so far. I broke through pile-ups while running just 20 watts and a 5-element Yagi on a 6-metre pole with a set of vice grips as an Armstrong rotator. And despite the great times then, when I look at the hobby now with so many different things to do, the sharing of info across the globe, it's still a hobby in good shape and in good hands, and I enjoy it at least as much today as the day I got my novice license. Well, thanks for hearing me while I wandered down memory lane for a bit. This is Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know on News West, VK6ARN.
A quick update from WAG, the West Australian Repeater Group. WAG had our first meeting of the year a couple of weeks back, doing some forward planning for the next few months. We're going to run our junk sale swap meet again in June. There'll be more about that in future broadcasts. We're also aiming to try more regular technical activity sessions this year, at least once per month, where we get together, break out the tools and test equipment, and get our hands dirty repairing, modifying, setting up and testing repeater equipment, making up coaxial cables, cavity filters and things like that. The idea is to sort out the many spare items that WAG have stored and better prepare for the on-the-ground site work visits so more of us have the skills and knowledge to keep repeaters going. Getting more people involved in repeater work is timely as we're still working in the background to fix a couple of recent problems. A fault with the HamNet data system has meant VK6RLM and VK6RWN repeaters can't currently connect to the All-Star, DMR and D-Star networks, and also the new 23SEM repeater for Tick Hill needs to be installed back in place. WAG members are actively working on these issues. It's likely to still be another couple of weeks, unfortunately, before we can get access to some of these sites and fix the problems. We appreciate everyone's patience, and we'll let you know when things are back online again. Otherwise, our monthly meetings are also planned to continue. The next one is Monday, March the 9th. Our technical and general net happens on Sundays at 10:30 local on VK6RLM repeater, 146.750. And we've got plans for work at a few other repeater sites in the first part of this year, and we look forward to bringing you updates in future. If you want to know any more, please email to secretary@whiskeyalfaromeogolf.org.au. This has been Anthony, VK6AXB, on behalf of WAG.
Just a reminder that RASA's QTC magazine was published last weekend, and then it's available for download from the RASA website, vkradioamateurs.org. That's vkradioamateurs.org. And there's some pretty good stories in there. There's one there entitled Forgotten Radio Pioneers. It's all about Reginald Fessenden, who was, by accounts, the first person to transmit voice over radio. That's a damn good story. And there are others. It's a good read. That's QTC magazine. It's available to download as a PDF or to view online on a fancy flip the pages on the screen thing at vkradioamateurs.org.
The Southern Electronics Group Mount Barker car boot sale is on for the Saturday, 7th of March. My apologies for the date mix-up. I'm sure I'll get a pay cut. This is an opportunity to bring your treasures down, up or sideways to Mount Barker and get some useful coins for the next project, or just to satisfy the other half that you're actually reducing the shack contents. The car boot sale is located at Frost Park, the Mount Barker racecourse, which is located on McDonald Avenue in Mount Barker. Tables are free and there's plenty of undercover room. Entry is $5 for buyers and sellers. Gates open at 9 a.m. for sellers and at 11 a.m. for buyers. Last sales and pack up by 3 p.m. Tables can be reserved by emailing reservations@hamradio.org.au. There is no food planned to be served on site, so bring some snacks, or the excellent Mount Barker Bakery is not far away. There are a number of tables already secured, including Steve Kennedy from Comtech Radio, who will be carrying items from Flex and Tet Emtron. If you have anything specific you would like Steve to bring down, please give him plenty of notice. Put it in your diary, Saturday, March 7th, Frost Park, Mount Barker. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
Good morning, listeners. This is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor. This week's helpline for the 15th of February, 2026. Today I have the following for you. From Tony, a heavy-duty antenna rotator by Daiwa. It's a model Delta Romeo 7600 X-ray, a DR7600 X-ray, complete with model DR7055 controller and approximately 30 metres of RG213 cable and approximately 13 metres of control cable. The price on that is $400. And if you're interested in that rotator, a Daiwa Delta Romeo 760, please contact Tony, VK6ATI, on his email, Targent, T-A-R-G-E-N-T-I, at aussiebroadband.com.au. And the phone number for Tony is 0472 608 523. He also has a landline as well, which is 0895286735. And the next item comes from Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo, and he has for you today the following. He has a whole list of stuff here. ICOM IC7300 for sale. Comes with original box, manual, etc., and all the bits and pieces. Excellent condition. Asking $1,200 or nearest offer. And also has a Kenwood Tango Sierra 950 SDX in excellent condition also. No box for that one. Asking $1,600 or nearest offer for that one. Please contact Gus, VK6 Whiskey Bravo, on 0407-030592. And his email address, he hasn't given it, so I won't give it either. And that's all for me this week. And if you have any items for next week broadcast, please contact me. I'm Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, and my email address is vk6xrayvictor@bigpod.com, and I'll attend to your needs as required. Thank you once again for listening. 7-3 from Roy, vk6xrayvictor.
Thank you once again, Roy. And that brings us to the end of the broadcast for another week. I'd like to thank all of you for listening, and especially thank the broadcasters, relay stations, and everyone who submitted items for the news. We're always looking for more. If you know of something newsworthy, why not record it in MP3, preferably 256 kbit mono, or whatever you can manage, and email it to newswest@vk6.net, along with your contact details, in case we need to follow anything up. Another thing we're always looking for more of are volunteers who can help produce the news, once every few weeks, couple of months, or whatever timing works for you. All you need is a PC running the Audacity software, a decent microphone, and the willingness to have a go. I mean, if I can do it, it can't be that hard. If you're interested, please get in touch. So, you have either been listening to, or you have just missed, News West. Callbacks will follow on most frequencies, and all being well, we'll do this again next week. Until then, 7-3 from VK6ARN.